Are you the only one who doesn't feel forgiven and accepted by God? I'd just like to share a story with you first of a doctor who said he lived for years with an unrealized sense of forgiveness. He didn't really feel forgiven. He said he understood the concept of forgiveness and he knew it could be attained. He knew about it intellectually and as he read the Bible, but it never really reached into his heart, into his emotions. He didn't realize what it meant for him to be forgiven. Because of this, he unconsciously tried to pay back a debt that he knew he owed. He recognized there was sin in his life that came between him and God, and so he tried to pay that back. He tried so hard, as he quoted, until the muscles of my soul screamed out in pain. He tried so much to the point of physical incapacitation, that is, until it made him sick. And then he heard about the wonder and amazement of really knowing that he could be forgiven. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, he finally comprehended the wonder of that fact, that the debt he thought he had to repay himself had been paid by Jesus at the cross of Calvary. And now, or then, to quote him again, he said, "No longer am I trying to exact payment from myself. No longer do I need to be driven by a hidden debt that seemed to overwhelm me." And it wasn't long, and even his physical symptoms disappeared. He had discovered real peace and joy in his life. Now, are you one of those people who find it hard to really feel forgiven? Is it something that gnaws away at you? Are you wondering, has God really forgiven me? Does he really accept me as I am? And are your feelings affecting your assurance of knowing that you will be saved from the coming wrath of God? If you were asked a question, and you might have heard this question before, if you were to die tonight, would you be certain that you would go to heaven to be with God? Could you say with certainty, yes? Or would there be some uncertainty because you thought you may not be good enough, that God may not accept you? If not, then I trust that today you can know for certain the wonder of forgiveness, and that you may understand and know and feel that God has or can forgive you unconditionally. I know this is a real issue with some people, and I trust that today we will find real answers as we discover the true facts of God's forgiveness. And as we do that, we will see that it is really about trusting the facts of God rather than trusting our feelings. Now, first let me say, it is good to feel guilty about sin in our lives. King David, and we heard the story very well from Richard, cried out for mercy from God after he was challenged by the prophet Nathan about his adultery and murder and deceit. And he said in those first five verses from our reading in Psalms, in Psalm 51, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me." Many of us are not prepared to acknowledge our sin. We may think the good in our lives will outweigh the bad. But if we look into ourselves, we'll see that even though our sin may not be on the scale of David, often we just go our own way and disregard God. And we don't realize the effect this has on a perfect God. Because he hates sin, he hates not having a personal relationship with us. He hates us living a life without him. In fact, we cannot have a personal relationship, we cannot get to know him, unless we are prepared to acknowledge there is sin that separates us from him. And the Bible reminds us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're also told there is a penalty for that sin, and it is eternal punishment and death. So it is important that we acknowledge the guilt of our sin. But what is not good is to hold onto that guilt. And you know, we don't have to hold onto it. And God certainly doesn't want us to hang onto it. It's probably hanging onto that guilt and believing somehow we have to appease it that leads to us feeling that lack of acceptance by God. We may ask for forgiveness for our sin, but then not let go of it. To have a genuine feeling of forgiveness and acceptance can be hard when we know that God is perfect and requires us to be perfect. Now, none of us live a perfect life, and even when we confess our sins, sometimes we just go out and do it again, just as Howard was talking about. And so did that scenario fit you? It certainly does me. And then we wonder, how could he forgive us again and again and again? And so what happens then? The doubts creep in. And it can be a real problem, can't it? You get to the point of acknowledging your sin to God, but still there is no peace. But you know, as I said before, God doesn't want us to carry that guilt. He wants to release us from it. He wants us to have joy and peace in our lives. He wants us to live in victory. And because he loves us so much, he is prepared to forgive us unconditionally. You may remember the story of the prodigal son in the Bible. The one who took his inheritance early and left his father and wasted his life away. And then when he came to his senses, he went back to his father. What did his father do? Did he berate him? No, we read, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. Unconditional love to the son who came home. Now to me, this is one of the most marvelous stories in the Bible. And you know, that is exactly what God wants to do to us, do for us. His love is so great, he sent his son to die for us, and he wants to come, and he wants to put his arms around us. In verse 7 and 8 of that passage we read in Romans, it reads, "Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we are still sinners, Christ died for us." If we can grasp just how much God really loves us, then we will have come a long way to knowing and feeling that we are forgiven. The Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians, he says, "I pray that you may be established in love and may have the power to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love surpasses knowledge." Now God knows we are sinners, and we know that we don't deserve to be forgiven when we face him. But he doesn't say to us, "You'd just better try a little harder." No, he knew we couldn't, no matter what we did, meet his standards. Even our sacrifices wouldn't be enough. So what did he do? Out of his great love for us, he sent his perfect son, who knew no sin, to come down to this earth and to suffer and die on a cross, carrying the penalty for our sin. It is only by God's grace, his unmerited favour towards us, that we can find true forgiveness, true peace. Well, let's say we've come to a point in our lives where we've acknowledged and confessed our sin to God, as David did. And David again says in Psalm 32 this time, "Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord." And what did God do? David said, "And you forgave the guilt of my sin." God forgave his sin. So how is God going to do that? We said before that Jesus went to the cross, because it is already done. It is now just a free gift, and all we have to do is accept it. Nothing we can do, we just have to accept the free gift that God has given to us. And that's the way our sins can be forgiven. In his love for us, he sent his son Jesus to pay the penalty for our sin. The price for our sin has been paid. The sacrifice has been made. And when you think of that, when I think of it anyway, a load is lifted from my shoulders. In verses 1 and 2 of our reading in Romans, we read, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand." Now, what does that word justified mean? We can just say it, but what does it really mean? It really means quite a lot. It means that those who have put their trust in Jesus are declared perfect by God. They've been acquitted. They've been exonerated. They have been declared righteous before God. Now, he doesn't condone our sin, but it is just as if we had never sinned. It also means that we've been credited with Christ's life and power, and in the sight of God the Father, we become like Jesus, perfect. God no longer sees our sin when we genuinely confess it to him. You may ask, how can this be possible? Again, it is made possible by the only perfect man going to the cross in our place. Now, what does God do with this sin? We've confessed it to him, we've handed it over to him. What does he do with it? And this can help us when we think of really thinking about and wanting to feel forgiven. He certainly can't tolerate or condone them, as we said before. And really, once again, David, I think, can shed some light on that. Now, when I was younger and worshipped in a non-Anglican church or churches, I often led communion. Now, during that time, as we reflected on the death and resurrection of Jesus, there was an opportunity to share something of God's deep love for us at that time. And there were some verses I always marvelled at as I thought about this from David. When David reflected on what God could do and then did with his sin. And they've always been something very special to me. One of those is in Psalm 51 and verse 7, the one we read today. David says, "Cleanse me with hyssop." Now, hyssop was a plant used in Old Testament purification rites. And he said, "Cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow." And then in Psalm 103, he says, "He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." It's great, isn't it, to know that God does that with our sin. And Isaiah also says, "Come, now let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as wool. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool." They're marvellous promises, aren't they, that God has given us. That our sin, when he takes it upon himself, is taken right away, and he forgets and he remembers it no more. They are great promises. So you're getting the picture. God has justified us. He's made us perfect in his sight. Not by anything we've done or can do, but by Jesus dying on a cross. When we bring our sin before him, he doesn't see our good works. That's not what he's looking at when he's wanting that price to be paid. They're not near enough. They never will be. But what he does is he sees Jesus, the perfect sacrifice. He sees the work that he has done for you and me. And then those sins are cast away, never to be seen or remembered again. And that is why he forgives us time and time again. And Howard had that illustration. And when we come to him and say, Lord, I've committed that sin again, he says, what do you mean? I'm only interested in this one today. I've forgiven and forgotten all the rest. I haven't even remembered them. Let's just forgive you for this sin today. And that's why he can do it, because our sins are just cast away from him. So what will it mean to know and really feel that we are forgiven? Do these facts of God's forgiveness absolutely amaze you? Now, it doesn't give us an excuse to deliberately go on sinning. That's certainly for sure. Even though he can forgive us and will forgive us time and time again, it doesn't give us an excuse to sin. Because when we really need to come to God in repentance, and when we do come to him in repentance, we need to come to him with the desire that we will turn our life around and serve him. And David was thinking of that in verse 10 of that Psalm 51. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. We should have that desire to please him. And when we do that, it then gives us peace and joy to know that. To have that forgiveness and to serve God gives us peace and joy. Now that doctor I mentioned in the beginning, it was a life-changing awareness when he really found the absolute amazement of God's forgiveness. And his life and understanding were completely turned around. And there's another man, Selwyn Hughes. Some of you may have heard of him. He was a well-known writer of devotional material and also an experienced counsellor. He said when he became a Christian in his teens, it just staggered him that God had forgiven all his sin, both present and future. He said, it just blew my mind that God had forgiven me. And time and again, when an opportunity was given to share a testimony, he was usually the first on his feet to say just two words. He would jump up and he would say, I'm forgiven. And then he would sit down. And he did that time and again. He said, the wonder of the fact that God has forgiven me has never left me. It is the most glorious thing that can happen to anyone. And it was something he felt. He said, even now as I write these words, and he'd written many, many books and things over the years. He said, even now as I write these words, tears are streaming down my face. Knowing God's forgiveness truly can reach into our deepest emotions. To know and understand and feel that God has forgiven us will bring us true peace and joy. In our Romans passage again, the first three verses again, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice, or in another translation it says, let us rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We can rejoice when we know that we are forgiven. And that's what it should lead to. We can now look forward to with confidence to an eternity with God. It'll give us a new perspective on life. We can rejoice in our sufferings too. As it says there, not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance and so on. And we can do that because of God's love for us. Down in verse 10 and 11 it says, for if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Our lives will become one of praise because we're no longer enemies of God. We're no longer enemies because we've been asked for forgiveness, and without our sins forgiven, we are enemies of God. But then, but when we confess our sin, we've been reconciled to Him, and God has given us forgiveness. We've been brought back into a living relationship with Him. And the psalmist also agrees with that and confers with that. After seeking God's forgiveness, he said, "Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice, and restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." It's a marvelous thing for David. It's a marvelous thing for us to know that we are forgiven, that we can be forgiven. We'll be able to stand, you'll be able to stand in confidence and have peace and assurance. Not in what you've done, but in what God has done in you. You'll be free. There'll be a weight. The weight of sin will be lifted from us, and we'll be free to praise God and to serve Him. And the focus then will not be on ourselves, it will now be on God and on others. And as David said in verse 13 of that chapter, he said, "Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will turn back to you." As you recognize the wonder of God's love and forgiveness, you'll want to tell others about Him and to share with them the joy of knowing your sins are forgiven. It'll mean so much to you, you'll then want to go out and share that with others. And then just another thing, do you have any trouble forgiving others? Some people have said to me, "I have trouble forgiving people." Well, I think if we truly appreciate the forgiveness God has offered to us, if we can really understand that and appreciate that, then you will be able to forgive, as the Lord's Prayer says, "Forgive those who sin against you as the Lord has forgiven you." Now, do you still have any doubts that God has forgiven you? I want to encourage you again to put your trust in what Jesus has done for you, and to take His promises, those promises, to claim those promises we read about today from His Word, that when we hand our sin over to Him, He forgets it. But Jesus has paid the penalty for it, and then we can claim and know that we are perfect in His sight, because we are perfect like Jesus. And then He remembers our sin no more. Now, if you're still unsure about that, then I suggest that, as we come to a close now, that you don't hesitate to talk to me or someone else that you may feel comfortable with after the service this morning. It is important for us to know that we can be, and that we are truly forgiven by God when we confess our sin to Him. And it is truly marvelous. And I'd just like to close with another quote from the testimony of Selwyn Hughes. It really sums up the joy and wonder of God's forgiveness. He said, as he contemplated on being forgiven, "Whenever there was an opportunity to select a hymn to sing in church, he would ask for one that contained these words. And this too can be your experience today." And these words, which are the words of an old hymn, and I think we might be going to sing it later today. My sin, oh the bliss of the glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Amen. Our Father, as we just contemplate on the fact of what Jesus has done for us, we thank you that through his death on the cross, and by believing in him, we are forgiven. We can be forgiven. We can feel forgiven. We can know that we are forgiven. We thank you, our Father, that because that penalty has been paid, and because you love us so much, you cast our sins as far as the east is from the west, and you remember them no more. And we thank you that we can then be made perfect through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you that you accept that, and help us to know that you accept us for what Jesus has done. And we pray this in his name. Amen.